Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop and your phone calls today here on New Life. It's a great day for New Life. We're glad you're with us for our program today.
Taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say, change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Welcome, everybody, and glad you're with us here today with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop. You guys doing all right today?
So far.
Doing great.
Hey, you know, I think all of us, we've been around the block a few times. We know that high expectations always produce some pretty severe disappointment and discouragement. And we were talking about this generation of kids and their expectations when they come out of the university or not, about just how, well, like you said, John, Time Magazine had an article not on the me generation, but the me generation. How does a parent help a child who is in that generation to be more realistic about expectations and grateful for whatever comes their way?
You got to start young, I think. It's pretty hard to change when they're in high school or college. And one of the most important things I think that a parent needs to do with a kid is teach them about delayed gratification. And what this generation has never had any delayed gratification. They get what they want. And so that's why they expect so much.
Yeah. I'm writing a book on it right now. It's called The Hard Way is the Right Way, How in a Culture of Entitlement and Shortcuts, Successful People Roll Up Their Sleeves. Kind of a long title.
Yeah.
That's the subtitle.
but part of it is if you've got a young adult, because I love the young adults. I work with their leadership all the time. But one of the things you can do that I think is really helpful is empathize but don't rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard that you couldn't go skiing, and it's hard that you don't have the, you know, you're working for minimum wage when you think you should be making more. I know that's tough. That's really hard. So don't judge them and say, well, you know, hard to be you. That's, you know, get your act together. You empathize. It is hard for them, and that's largely a fault of our generation, I think, and making them more entitled. So you empathize so they know you're for them, but you never rescue them. And when they say, I just need a little more money, you say, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, that is so hard, and I hope you'll be okay.
Well,
it's kind of how God does it, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, not to openly express jealousy over your book title, but it really does kind of, it's a great phrase to say to a child, you know, hey, Bobby, the hard way is the right way, and I could make it easy for you.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that because I'm here for you to help you. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. He didn't say, hey, I'm praying you won't mess up. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm praying for you after you mess up.
Right.
And you're saying to your kids, well, you know, I'm here for you.
It's hard for a lot of parents to say that because they feel guilty because they haven't been there enough. You know, they've been working too much, too hard.
Yeah.
Or something. And so if there's guilt on the part of the parent, that just motivates that easy way.
I know. And I always tell the parent, well, you can make them feel better now and you're functioning as Prozac. They'll feel better for a few hours if you write the check.
Right.
And then they'll have a train wreck later, or you can do the hard thing now as a parent, and they might get on track later.
Yeah.
So do you want your own? I mean, it's not your child's delay of gratification.
Who has
it's your own delay of gratification. That's the issue.
Who has the quote unquote nervous breakdown? It's the person that just everything was done for
there
them, and then boom, at 28 they hit the wall because nobody is there spoon feeding happiness into their little mouth.
Do it now. Do it the hard way. Do it young. It's a blessing.
The Hard Way is the Best Way, title of my new book, right after John's The Hard Way is the Right Way. Really, it'll be great. We'll take a break and come right back after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Enough chit-chat here. Let's get down to business. Let's go talk to some people like Donna from Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hello, Donna.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are
Hi.
You?
How can we help you today?
I received a disturbing text message from my husband this morning, and I just want to know how to reply.
What did it say?
It goes like this. I'm going to read it right from the message. It says, I have not slept since I woke up last night around 11:30. I have engaged in some risky transactions for my own satisfaction, but could potentially affect you now or in the near future. I'm telling you, so if you want to get out of my life, you can. Mm. I'm not doing anything for you, therefore I wouldn't want you to do anything. I wouldn't want to do anything to affect you. If you choose to stay and whatever I do affects you, it's at your own risk. I won't think about you when I do things. So if you want to get out of this marriage, feel free.
Oh my goodness. Donna, how I mean, this is so fresh and raw. How are you feeling?
I was shocked beyond belief when I got this text this morning. I didn't know what to do. I called my friend,
I
told her, and I said, this is what I want to reply. And she said, do not reply. Just let's process it. Let's try to think about it and see what we're going to say. And she hasn't called me back since, and I'm thinking she just doesn't know what to say either.
Where is he, Donna?
I'm sorry?
Where is he?
He's in the military. He's stationed in another part of the country right now.
You can't say what country he's in.
He's in the country.
In another part
of
the
country. Oh, this country.
Another
sorry.
State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what a... Excuse me. What a horrible thing that rather than... It's not like he's in Afghanistan. He can't call you.
Yeah.
That he texts you. Rather than at least give you the decency of having a phone conversation where you could say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's really he's really being vague.
Could mean all kinds of things.
Well, we've been having problems, and we do have communication problems. And just like a caller said earlier, a lot of things that happened are my fault, and I'm trying to work on them now little by little just through prayer and... You know, reading the Bible more, because there's simple things that can be changed very easily just by reaching out to God more.
Well, Donna, but, in your experience, it's simple and easy. I would imagine if your husband was on the phone, he'd say it's a lot more than a prayer and a couple of Bible verses, all right? So let's understand the guy, whatever he's doing, he thinks there's a major issue here. And so, I mean, you cannot engage on a text level. I have a rule with my executives that I work with, is you don't solve problems via an email argument or a text argument, because you can't hear the other person's heart. You miss information. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So you're don't text him back and say, well, here's what you think. Say, when can I talk to you? When's
That's
the next
I
time I can talk to you on the phone or Skype, or when can I fly over? But do not try to solve this via, I mean, the technical term is non-synchronous communication. Non-synchronous is text or email, and people just misunderstand each other. So you get on that phone and say, I'm scared, I'm worried, I want to help, I want to get us back together. When can we talk on phone, Skype, or fly?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think. And man, I am so, so sorry that you got a text like that. And, you know, who knows what these risks are.
It's not even worth speculating.
No. Yeah.
Because it's like you said, who knows? So don't even go there. Just say, I got to talk to you. And you know what I would also say, Donna, is, and I want to listen.
Yeah.
Don't get in there and hold on, Donna. Uh-huh. Don't get into what you've done to me and, you know, you're not sensitive to me. Start off, I love what Stephen Covey says. He says, if you seek to be understood, you got to first understand. Go in and say, something's going on. I want to listen. And then you can make decisions when you've got the information.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm sorry. Donna, you had one final thing to say there?
Hello?
Yeah. Did you have one final thing to say there?
Yeah. I was going to say, he's been threatening to either get out of the marriage or he's been telling me.
Well, you're going to give him a call. You're going to talk to him. You can clarify all of that. And sorry for what you're going through. This is a great example of a couple. If he would just get over himself and go to our marriage weekend with her, a lot of stuff could be worked out there. But I don't have a lot of hope there for a guy that isn't willing to even phone and talk to the woman.
Unless he's just giving out of gas, Steve. You know, sometimes, like, you know, Donna, you're so, I'm kind of happy that you said I've done a lot of not listening. So sometimes guys just give out of gas and say, well, this is hopeless. He'll just text. So it's a two-way street there.
Okay, good point. All right, I'll send Donna 7-Minute Marriage Solution. Hope that will help you. He's got all sorts of stuff, seven different concepts to look at if your spouse won't do anything you want them to do under every one of the seven things to start, seven things to stop to make your marriage better right now. Let's go to Jane from Greenville, North Carolina. XM Satellite Radio is where she hears this program. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's going on with you?
Well, I would like to know how to best help my daughter without pushing her away, and this is the situation. She has been married 14 years, and she called me yesterday and said she is having an affair.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am pretty shocked. I don't want to, you know, I didn't flip out at her. I held it together, and we've talked, you know, several times. She's called me back several times, and the bad thing, this is with their best friends, which makes it even, I think, worse. But I don't know what to do and how to
phrase
help her
it,
and
phrase
how
it,
to
phrase it, phrase it, phrase it. Jane,
what's the question?
Lose her by,
okay.
You know,
phrase it as a question, Jane. We'll help you.
What is it you want to know?
I want to know how I can get her to make the right decision without pushing her away or trying to.
Yeah, ask another question, Jane. Anytime a problem starts with get somebody to make the right decisions, even God doesn't do that, Jane. So let's get out of the get your daughter, you know, to make the right decisions. Would you be okay with this question? Because we can help you on this one. Would be, how can I be the most helpful in this situation?
Okay.
Is that an okay question for Jane?
That's an okay question, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's one we can answer.
Go ahead.
You know, Jane, when a woman has an affair, you know, 8 times out of 10, it's a way to end the marriage. And that might be something you explore with her and saying, are you done with your marriage? And is this your way of trying to make a statement? And, you know, her understanding how she got caught in this might be a help in knowing how to be a help
to her.
I know
how she got caught.
How'd you get caught?
I mean, everybody knows everything. It's out in the open as of yesterday. Yeah. She is still at home. It's not good. You know, she doesn't know what she wants. The other wife, the wife of the other man, saw them. Mm-hmm. Yes. And blown up from there.
Is that ending?
She doesn't know what she wants. She doesn't know what she wants. She said she loves this other guy.
Is that end as the affair ended now that it's gotten public?
I don't know. I don't.
Because often it does, because it loses its mystique once it's public, you know, not instantly, but over time. But she's got to, you got to help her clarify what it is that she doesn't know, you know, and it's really, you know, are you interested in resolving your marital issues? Are you interested in just getting out of the marriage? Help me understand.
She doesn't know.
I know, but that's the conversation I would try to have with her to help her clarify that, because that's going to determine a lot of things.
Well, what about the reality that we see all the time, we hear about all the time, that when a person has an affair and they get married, then they still have the same problems, and so they end up having another affair. Now, they marry somebody.
Well, I'm just
asking Dave and John about how do you communicate without, you know, judging or pushing away. How do you communicate some of the realities of affair and marrying the person you have an affair with? Any ideas, guys, of how she could do that?
Often they don't marry the person they have the affair with because, again, once it's out in the public, it loses whatever was there as the mistake. So, but that's why I think it's important, Jane, that you have an ongoing conversation with her that's helping her clarify what she doesn't know, what she's all confused about, and that you stay connected to her in helping her sort that out. And it's going to be interesting what happens over the next 30 days with the affair.
And Jane, let me add one thing to this. A lot of times parents are afraid of judging, so they don't call sin sin, and they don't call wrong wrong. I don't want to alienate, and I don't want to push back. If you read your Bible, the words sin and bad are in there. I mean, it's not just that I've got these ambivalent feelings, I'm not sure where I'm going. There's a path that leads to destruction, and we get divorced, and we get medical problems, and we go bankrupt, and our children get destroyed. And so a good parent is not afraid to say, Sally, this is wrong, and I love you, but this is horrible, and I'm never judging you, but I'm afraid that this acting out and this sin and this doing this, you know, with this guy is going to destroy lots and lots of people. And so don't think.
Right.
And if your daughter goes, there you go, judging me, go, oh, wait a minute. No, judging is saying that you're a horrible person, you're going to hell. I love you.
Jane, let me finish. I haven't judged her. I mean, on the last conversation this morning, Jane, stop. Hey, Kelly. Okay,
hold on.
Jane, stop.
Hold on,
stop.
John wants to add one more thing.
I want to add one more thing.
Okay.
You have to have a talk sometimes with people that say, and here's how I would tell you, this is how I just work with people. You go to them and you say, I know you need my help and I love you. Tell me how I can tell you the truth. Now, let's think about that for a second, Jane. You say to your daughter, tell me how I can tell you the truth. Well, you judge me. Yeah, I don't want to judge you. So tell me how I can tell you the truth when I don't agree with you. And it forces that person to take ownership of, now they can say, I don't want to hear the truth. Just stroke me and tell me I'm wonderful and you know, comfort me. Then you can say, you know, I don't do that. I do what the Bible says, which is grace plus truth. Tell me how you can tell you the truth. Well, don't use that tone of voice. Okay, maybe I do that. What's that tone of voice? Don't use words like I'm an idiot. Okay, what are the bad words? But you must never, never fall into the trap of being afraid to tell someone the truth.
And you don't have to apologize for being an advocate of the grandchildren.
There you go.
And wanting the best for your grandchildren.
So don't walk on eggshells because somebody says you're being judging. Just say, well, let's understand that. Never, never want to judge. Tell me how I can tell you the truth. I'm going to send you a copy of Beyond Boundaries. It talks about all that stuff.
All right. I want you to hold on. We'll get that to you. Anybody else? 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Let's go to David, Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hi. How are you today?
Hi. I've been better.
Okay. What's the big problem?
Here a while back, me and my wife were fostering kids.
Yeah.
And one of them accused her of physical abuse. That came back unfounded. And then that same girl accused me of sexual abuse.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
Which did come back unfounded. But today I got another letter stating it was indicated against me.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. We're going to break. Tell us the question so we can help you, David.
Okay. I don't know really what to do now.
Okay, so you want us to think about your best next step over the break?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get you a best next step. This is hard.
All right. Yeah. We'll be back right after this with more New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. Check out that website, the 7-Minute Marriage Solution, right there. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn. Come join us as we cruise Alaska this summer, July 1st through the 8th. Alaska is one of God's most wonderful and spectacular works of creation. And if you haven't been before, you'll be amazed at all there is to see and to do. We'll be sailing the Norwegian Sun, starting in Vancouver, and sailing north to Anchorage. Along the way, we'll stop in Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, and then sail Glacier Bay and Hubbard Glacier. Our New Life cruises are always filled with lots of fun, wonderful fellowship, and great teaching from our team. And joining me this year are Women of Faith speakers Marilyn Meeberg and Lucy Swindoll. To register or to find out more, call 1-888-770-6898, extension 103. That's 1-888-770-6898, extension 103.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome to New Life Live. We're back talking with David. What is the question for us?
Well, I guess I'm wondering what I should do next.
Okay. Are you
what I should do, period.
Where is the girl now?
She's with her brothers at their foster home.
Okay.
And it's like one Sunday afternoon we allowed them to go over there for a play date with their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back afterwards and were telling us about the house and all these things.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's great, you know. And 2 days later, they accused my wife of the physical abuse.
And you think the motivation was so they could go live over there?
Yes.
Dave, do you have an attorney?
No, I do not.
Why would you have an attorney? This thing could hurt your career. Why wouldn't you get an attorney, buddy?
First, we really didn't, when it came unfounded and everything, we didn't think we would need one.
But now you do. Really do.
Yeah, this could be such a...
You got to protect yourself.
Yeah, this could
and
be horrible.
You need an attorney that can really, line up the folks who know the most about false accusations, because they do happen, and there's always, there's a motive behind them.
Right.
And quite frankly, studies show that usually it is implanted, the false accusation is planted by the parent that wants custody of the child. And I don't know if the brother planted anything or whatever, but you could sure see that somebody that understood this could see the motive of them wanting to move out.
Yeah.
So.
And I've been in contact with my pastor, and we talked to him today, and he did suggest a lawyer as well.
Good. Okay. So that's your next step, and I hope that you'll do that.
Remember, guys. Yeah. When you've got emotional communication issues, you talk to them and you're vulnerable and you open up and you try to have win-win things. And when people start sending mean letters like that, it's time for lawyers, guns, and money.
You bet.
The discussion is over.
That is right. Good. Okay. Yep. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that will be a blessing to you. I'm glad that you called. And man, I'm just praying. We'll pray for you in the morning. That the best comes out of this and not the worst. Robin from Vassar, Michigan, WSNL. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
Good, but confused.
Okay, what's going on?
All right. I don't know if I should stay in this marriage or not. He's been wanting out for 9 years now.
He's been wanting out for 9 years?
Boy, that's a long time to have to be around somebody that doesn't like you. Goodness gracious. What's that been for you holding on like that?
I've just been hanging on for the last two kids that we have. We have six
goodness.
Kids.
Goodness.
This is our second time going around, and before we even got married again, we both made a vow to God, no matter what, there was no divorce in this marriage.
Okay, so let's quit hanging around for the kids. And let's start doing some things that just might save this marriage for you and the kids. You know, just hanging in there hasn't worked very well.
No, but he doesn't even care.
Okay, so John, Dave, what do you think would be something that would increase the likelihood of him caring? You got anything up your sleeve for that?
No, I thought maybe you did, Steve.
No.
Hey,
Robin.
Robin. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Can I just take you through the normal path? We've heard this kind of struggle a lot. I can take you through the normal path so you can say, well, we've tried that and checked that off and all that.
Okay.
All righty. Have you tried counseling?
I've asked him. He won't go.
Okay. And
the only reason why he went this last year is because he had a WOI and he was forced to go by the court.
All right. Number two, do you know why he wants out? Why he doesn't want to be married for 9 years?
No, I don't know why he wants out. And we don't even talk anymore.
Okay. But in 9 years, you've never talked about this?
No. He's been a truck driver. He's been mostly over the road. He's only been home like maybe a week and a month.
Yeah, let me go back a little bit earlier, though. You were married to him, and then you divorced, and you remarried him?
Yes.
Second time around.
And how long were you married the first time?
Almost 11 years.
And then why did you guys decide to remarry?
It was, like, totally different. It was, like, everything I dreamed about. I mean, he was there for me. He was there for the kids. He made sure the kids did this for me. He did that for me. I mean, it was like I was a princess.
So he charmed you back into marrying him again. But now, how long have you been married this time?
This time it was 12 years this year.
And so you had 3 years of good and then it went bad.
Well, it actually went bad in 2004. And I can pinpoint the night that everything just went like a 360.
Really? All right. Well, we'll hear about that night. Try to give you some good advice. Just hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. You can support this ministry with a gift of any kind. I'll send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. Or you could become the 5,102nd, 62nd person to join Club New Life at a minimum of $25 a month, honoring our 25th anniversary right here this year. It changes everything for us when you support us, but you know what we found out? It changes everything for you also. So it's not something we want just from you, but for you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Robin, married to a trucker, married to him for the second time, kind of hung in there for those kids, hoping things would get better, but they haven't.
And, yeah,
Robin, John's going through a list.
I'm done with the list. Okay. Robin, you got a big mess, and we all feel bad for you. And here's what we would suggest is a conversation with your husband that says the following: I don't want to get divorced. We've done this before, and I love you, and I know we've got struggles, but I want a divorce. I want to work this out. And whatever he says, I don't want you, or it's never been good, just, okay, got it. Here's what I'm telling you, Sam, is I'm not going to divorce you, and I'm going to get help with our pastor or with a counselor, but I'm not going to divorce you, and I'm going to get as healthy as I can. And if you want to do it, I'll show up, I'll take the beam out of my eye, I'll change, I'll get healthy, but I want to be a great wife and all that. If he says, I still don't want you, then you say, well, okay, I can't stop that, and then I'm going to keep trying to get healthy, but I'm not going to help you get divorced. I'm not going to make it easy to get divorced because I don't believe in it. Well, I was thinking, let me finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was thinking of a Bible verse in Timothy where it says that even though we remain unfaithful, he remains faithful. And sometimes you have to take the higher road and say, I'm going to do what it takes to be a healthy, godly Christian wife, and I'm not going to make it easy for you to be breaking this up, even though I want us to be together. That's kind of like what we're supposed to do.
How do you feel about that?
Well, that's what I've been doing for like the last 9 years, because he's been trying to kick me out. I've been staying here because he's been trying to throw me out. This is what I've been doing for the last 9 years.
Are you getting support? Is he paying for things?
That's about it.
All right. Then what I would add to your mix is make sure you got, like you said, you got two more at home out of your six. And this is very, very important. You make sure that all the holes he's not filling up 3 out of 4 weeks a month, you've got church, friends, neighbors, relatives, activities, healing, service organizations, bowling. Fill up your life and just say, I'm not divorcing the guy, and I'm going to fill my life with as cool a life as possible.
So when he calls me retard and everything like that, what should I tell the kids?
I wouldn't tell the kids your dad said I'm a retard.
No, no. He says it right in front of them.
They know better.
Well, that's when you say, if you say those names, either you have to leave the house or I do, and we take the kids. We don't use those words in our house.
Okay.
And you protect yourself and the kids. And you say, Sam, please stop saying it or leave the house if you can't stop saying it. Well, it's my house. Okay, then we're going to pack up the kids. We won't be back for a while because we don't do those. I'm protecting the language in our house, and you've set some boundaries there.
Gosh, it's so evil.
It's evil.
It's so evil that he's doing this, and I'm so sorry for you.
He's been trying to get me to move back in with my mom for I don't know how long.
I know. Have you read Boundaries?
No, I've not read Boundaries.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to send it. Boundaries aren't about fixing up a crazy person, but they're making you healthy God's way. We'll send you a copy of it.
Coming your way. Come on, man. We got one man that won't step up and either get involved or let her off the hook, and another guy texts. I mean, come on, guys. We can do better than this.
Wait a minute. But we also got a guy who was unfairly accused. This is not a man-bashing show, though.
No,
We got a guy who was unfairly accused of being bad to kids, and we helped him, too. So there's enough misery to go around to all the genders.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't male-bash. I just tend to talk about my gender's weaknesses because that's the gender I am.
So if it had been Stephanie Arterburn, you'd be talking, come on, gals.
Come on, women. Come on, ladies. Let's get this together.
All right. Be nice to these wacky men.
All right. We are now going to go to Loretta, Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, WFIL. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fairly well, yes. Thank you.
Good. I was listening to in the beginning of the show.
Now, Loretta, think about this, Loretta. You're calling with a problem. You're calling with a problem, and your host. We tell you we're doing fairly well. I'm not sure we can help you if we're just doing fairly well. Loretta, we're doing great, Loretta. We're doing fantastic. We've got lots of help for you.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Gotta get the groundwork
set here.
Okay. How could our superficial selves help?
How can you help me? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's going on?
I listened to you in the beginning of the show, and this has been an issue. My daughter has special needs. She has autism. Mm.
Yeah.
Pretty high functioning verbally, though, and she's going to be 21 soon. But she's at a work program through her school, but she doesn't even make minimum wage. She makes $1.50 an hour.
All right.
So I heard you guys say, well, hey, you know what? You know, you just can't give it to them. You can't.
Well, wait a second. Were you thinking we were talking about an autistic child?
No. I just want to know biblically, how does this even, you know what I mean? How does this even relate? Or how do you handle it where you try to teach her money issues where, you know, she's got to pay for a portion maybe of something, you know, because she is highly functioning. She's capable of working maybe part-time.
Yeah, but that's still pretty minimal functioning. She's not ever going to be self-supporting, right?
No.
Okay. So I just don't think that what we were saying would apply in any way to your situation. I think she's so great. She has a mom that's, you know, trying to find that balance of helping her be responsible.
The principle would be, Loretta, that you do for them what they can't do for themselves. And the problem comes when we start doing things for our kids that they should be doing for themselves. And your daughter can't do things for herself. So that's something that probably the rest of your life you will be assisting her in that process. And that's perfectly legitimate. It's perfectly biblical because you're doing something for her that she can't
yeah.
do.
Yeah, there's a great passage in the Bible, Loretta. Dave just made me think about it. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and it says, we're supposed to admonish the unruly, but help the weak. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's resistant or lazy or wants somebody to take care of them, we admonish that.
Yeah.
But if somebody's weak, like your kid has a weakness, the neurological weakness, yeah, we help them. So you're a rock star. You're doing the right thing.
You know, and I think you go back and you continue to use the philosophy and do what toddlers want. They're always want help me do it by myself. Is what you know. Help me do this on my own.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're continuing to do. And I think you're a great blessing to her. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution. I hope that you like it. By the way, Every Man's Battle is next week in Denver, June the 28th. We'd love for you to come if you're struggling with sexual integrity or sexual purity. And then July 26th, 27th, 28th is the Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Weekend, all in the same weekend. Lives are transformed at those amazing experiences, and yours could be too. So you call us and let us help you, either in your marriage or your struggle with your fear or anxiety or something that you've been dealing with. We really do want to help you there. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. All right, let's go to Freddie from College Park, Maryland. Hi, Freddie.
Hello?
Freddie, are you there? Hi, Freddie.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Hi. I wanted to say, first of all, I'm calling for the first time, and then I've heard you guys for a couple of times now, and I think it's a good thing that you're doing this, trying to give godly advice for all of us who have our issues in life. Hopefully you can do the same for me.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Yep. Basically, I'm the oldest of three kids.
Okay.
And we suspect that my mom, she may be having some type of affair with another person from our church.
Oh, dear. Why do you think that?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think that?
I described it as a teenager behavior. I've been there. You hide your phone. You're secretive.
Yeah.
You lock your door. You go places that you say you're going to go, but you never did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
That's
kid.
Teenagerish behavior almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've left the church now. I've just like my first three Sundays now that I've left. Because I was told, you know what, if going to church is causing you this type of pain because you're seeing this behavior going on, you know, just leave. You have to leave because it's doing emotional damage. And I think what I'm more worried about is my siblings. My brother's 10, my sister's 18. And, you know, the damage on them more so than me.
Have you talked to your mom?
I'm sorry?
Have you talked to your mom?
Yes, we've had three strong conversations.
And what does she say? Have you said, I suspect that you're having an affair? Have you been that clear and direct with her?
Yeah, I have.
And what does your mom say?
Hey, somewhere along the lines, I remember one time clearly, to me anyways, it was basically a confirmation. She said, you know what, my business is my business.
Is she married to your dad? Is your dad, are they married?
Yeah, she's married to my dad, but their relationship is, you could say they're separated but married.
All right.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah. We'll give you some help right after this. Glad you called. You're listening to New Life Live. Back for the final segment right after this.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be, and I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
first time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back, and Freddie is concerned about his wife. And Freddie, we're concerned about you.
Steve is concerned about his mother, not his wife.
I'm sorry. That was like a Freudian thing. But Freddie, I think the thing we're most concerned about is, how old are you, Freddie?
21.
Okay. Well, let's see. All right, let's help Freddie.
Wow.
As a 21-year-old, he's the oldest in the family,
yeah.
And your mom's kind of said, stay out of my business, is what she said.
Well, you don't stay out of a person's business when they're destroying everybody. That's not okay. Freddie, what would you say about talking to your dad, buddy?
Sometimes I felt like I've came so close, but I can't. I just don't have the courage to do it. I barely talk to him anyway, so... To bring him on something like that again, I think it would be really hard.
Well, I think that sometimes families need what I would call a redemptive agent.
Hmm.
And maybe this is your spot to be the redemptive agent. Yeah. And here's kind of how I craft these talks. Is, Mom, I know you say that your life is your life, and it is. We know that. You make your choices. But if you don't go tell Dad what's going on, I'd like to go do that. So you can tell him, or I can tell him, but I love Dad, and I love you, and I'm not going to let Dad be twisting in the wind on this.
Mm-hmm.
What would she do with that, buddy?
Oof, that's like an ultimatum.
It's an adult choice.
And you are an adult, my friend, buddy.
And your mom's making adult choices, and your dad's the victim here.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So what would that...
But what if he knows already?
Yeah, and then and then she goes, I don't care, because he already knows, and I have my life, and, you know, it's my second chance of happiness, or all the crazy things people say.
Yeah.
And you say, well, okay, Mom, you kind of confirmed that I really can't have a lot of relationship with you if you're doing this to Dad. So I'm going to be kind of, unless you're willing to look at some different ways to do this and say no to the sin, I'm going to support Dad on this, and I'm going to go have dinner with him and say, how can I love you through this, Dad? You got to take a stand, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
If that's too hard for you, Freddie, let me give you an alternative. Go talk to your pastor.
Oh.
And say, you know, this is bothering me so much that I even stopped coming to church, and I don't want to do that because I'm an adult. I don't need to be controlled by my mother's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bothering me that this is going on in church, and I need your help. You know, can you bring our whole family in so we can talk with you about it? Or, you know, just see whatever your pastor says. But that may be...
It might be less overwhelming.
That's good, Dave.
It'd be a little easier for you.
How would that feel, Freddie?
Kind of done that already. A couple months ago, I told my pastor about it. He went to go talk to the other gentleman and to my mom. And,
okay, then take it.
Follow up, anyways.
Take it another step, Freddie, and say, you know, would you meet with our family to come help clarify some of this stuff? Since you did some checking, I appreciate that. It seems like nothing stopped. It's not looking good for the church for this to be going on.
That's right.
But it's not good for our family. Can you meet with us as a family and help us deal with this?
I love that.
Yep. Right. Okay, Freddie. I'm glad you called and. Dave, you mentioned that, well, you don't want him to be controlled by her behavior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, it's like if I'm truly an adult on the inside and one of my parents is acting up, it doesn't make me have to move, you know, or change locations. I'm separate enough from it that it upsets me, but it doesn't change. It doesn't control me in a way that I have to react to.
And
it.
I don't have to give up a good thing if it's a good church because right. My mom's being difficult.
Stupid.
Or stupid.
And we,
all our psychological technical terms that we use, difficult and stupid.
And we knew that you were an adult, and we sensed that you were 21 and you'd be able to move on.
I wasn't sure, but Steve, I think you knew that.
Not be overwhelmed. Or
I thought he was 22.
Hmm. Yeah. So,
but Freddie, we're on your side there.
All right, man. Let me. What's a good book? Let's send him something that'd be helpful for him in this situation. What do you guys think? How about forgiving the unforgivable so he can forgive his mom?
There you go.
Get on with his life. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. All right. Coming your way, Freddie. Hey, and most of you listen, and you do that because every day when we mess up, you're able to forgive the unforgivable. And we appreciate that. And hope and pray that you'll come join us for something that we do around here. We're not just a radio program. We're not just this ministry that goes around doing speaking. You know, when we do our seminars, we combine it with the power of Christian counseling. That's what we've been doing for 25 years. And, you know, just like on Every Man's Battle, 11,000 guys have gone through one workshop. And, oh,
wow.
My goodness.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
That's a movement,
Steve.
They've
got counseling, mm-hmm. not just hearing somebody say something, but counseling right along with it. So if you've got somebody that needs help, we've got one coming up June the 28th. And then July 26th, 27th, 28th, we've got the marriage weekend, and that's going to be another time where marriages that are dead come to life. We've seen it over and over again. Dave Stoop and Mylon, their wives, and me, we speak, we teach, and then you work on the issue with a counselor. And it's just fantastic. And I hope and pray that you'll do whatever it takes. If your marriage is in trouble, that you'll get there. Because if we knew of something that was more helpful, we'd tell you about it. We would suggest you do that. But right now, this, as far as we know, is the most helpful thing you could do. So you call us and ask us.
You know why it's the most helpful?
Because
the way we're wired neurologically, we need content and information, but we also need experience. And if you got a good seminar, and I'm a seminar guy, the content's great, but when you get the content plus an experience, like the small groups and you guys' involvement and all that, then you get everything. You've got to have the teaching, but you've got to have the experience.
Now, as an author, that's terrible because you can't get it by just reading a book.
But we know
you got to read a book and talk about it with somebody who's also reading the book. Now you've multiplied the power of it.
There you go.
But hopefully people read a book, they try some of the behaviors in the book, and then they've got somebody to talk to about how that worked out.
That's right.
But if you don't, you know, not all that beneficial every time. All right, 1-800-New-Life. That's the phone number to call if you need some help. A gift of any kind, we send you 7-Minute Marriage Solution. For joining Club New Life, it's the leather. I don't think we're doing leather anymore. But it's a Life Recovery Bible. Dave and I edited that. This year, that Bible comes out in the teen version. It comes out in King James. Comes out in Spanish. And it's already sold 2 million copies. Anything else that's coming out in, Dave?
No, I think that covers it.
Yeah.
We've got some other stuff coming out of what's in the Teen Life Recovery Bible.
Oh, yeah. We've got books on the 12 laws of life
12
recovery.
12 rewards and the 12 missteps.
Yeah. And, you know, like one of those laws is that restitution leads, you know, when you're in recovery, making restitution leads to closure on an issue. It's closure for you, closure for somebody else. And those are the things that we're putting into the new edition of the Life Recovery Bible and also the Teen Life Recovery Bible. Anyway, I'm really glad. I'm thankful that you listen. Help us if you can. Come be part of the giving family. We love you. We care about you. And we're going to be here for a long time if you'll continue to support this ministry. It is a ministry that exists only because you care enough to help us out. So please don't stop. And I just thank everybody that does. I don't know of any ministry more grateful for the smallest gift than this ministry right here, because we know even the smallest gift requires tremendous sacrifice.
Imagine how grateful we are for the larger gifts.
Very. I just used the word very. I don't know. It kind of says it all for me. Anyway, God bless you all. Thank you. We'll see you here tomorrow, actually on Monday, on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.